This is KUT. Austin has a lot of nicknames: River City, Silicon Hills, the City of the Violet Crown. But one moniker has stuck harder than all the others. In this installment of AT Explained, KUT's Mos Bouchel takes a look at how Austin came to call itself the live music capital of the world.
No matter what you think of it, you've got to admit it's been effective. Even for people who don't like music, for people who've never been here, Austin and music are synonymous. You live in Chicago now, but like when you say you're from Austin, do people bring up music?
I think so.
That's Austin Brown. Yeah, his first name is Austin. He asked us a question about the live music nickname, even though he's going to school up north. Like, what are some other brands that cities have been this effective? Is there a slogan in Chicago? Like a moniker?
Nothing about music, really. The Windy City, the City of Broad Shoulders.
But if you visit Chicago, people aren't saying, hey, don't miss the Broad Shoulders. I can't even think if LA has a slogan.
The City of Angels, but that's...
Oh, yeah. I don't know exactly what that means, but...
I always thought it felt a little sarcastic.
Austin's more like the little town that boasts the world's largest ball of twine. If you stop there, people are going to ask you about the twine. So here's the question.
Where did the live music capital of the world moniker come from? Does it feel accurate to residents or musicians?
Well, let me start by asking you, does it feel accurate to you, do you think?
I don't know.
We'll get back to that. First, a little history.
Walk sign is on to cross Barton Springs at First Street.
A lot of people say the music scene in Austin really took root right around where I'm standing. This was around the site of the old Armadillo World Headquarters. It was one of the clubs where they say Willie Nelson helped unite the hippies and the rednecks. And that encouraged a vibrant music scene to take hold that might today be called a roots music or Americana. Nowadays, this is a surface level parking lot for a city office building. There are plenty of city staffers going in and out, but there's no music right here. So instead of staying here and getting some weird looks, let's take a trip up your radio dial. Yeah, there we go. We'll find out what happened next.
I'm Jay Trachtenberg. I'm a music host at our sister station, or your sister station, KUTX.
That's 98.9. Jay's been a DJ in town for decades. I asked him what it was like back in the 70s and 80s.
I was at a party maybe a year ago, and this guy had in his music room, he had a poster from Soap Creek.
That was a popular club back in the day.
It was just a one-month poster.
With all the acts playing there that month.
And within this month, let's see, Doug Somm was there.
Time goes by.
And Gay Mouth Brown was there. Townes Van Zandt.
Well, to live, to fly, all low and high.
Delbert McClinton, Marsha Ball, Paul Ray. To see all these names on one poster from one club in 1 month, you look at this and you go, I can't believe all these people were here and this was only one place.
That old highway.
The Austin Chamber of Commerce took note. One chamber pamphlet from the 70s said people were calling Austin a second Nashville. Well, the scene grew through the years to include blues, punk, new wave. By the time South by Southwest started up, the Austin City Limits PBS show had already been around for more than a decade. And the Austin City government started to see music as a moneymaker. It created the Austin Music Commission to foster the industry in 1988. And clearly, second Nashville wasn't going to cut it.
Going down to Texas.
This is music from a woman named Lillian Stanfield. Chances are you haven't heard of her, but when it comes to the live music nickname, Stanfield, who died several years ago, left a big mark.
I give 100% of the credit to Lillian Stanfield.
Nancy Coplin was the first chair of the Austin Music Commission. She says sometime around 1991, she got a call from Stanfield.
And she said, you know, I just drove back from a gig in Houston, and as I pulled into Austin and saw the Austin City Limits sign, I thought maybe we should have something that said Music Capital of Texas.
The Music Commission looked at how many venues there were in Austin per capita. They decided maybe live music capital was a better claim. At that time, City Councilmember Max Nofziger was Austin Music's biggest champion at City Hall. Copeland went to him with the name.
And I said, well, that's good. I like that, except this is no time to be modest. So how about if we become the live music capital of the universe?
I said, we really have no way to gauge that, Max. I'm not sure they have music on Mars.
I said, well, let the Martians be damned. You know, they can invade us or vaporize us, whatever they would do. But I think it'd be worth it. And she said, you probably couldn't get that past your city council colleagues. So we compromised on Austin, the live music capital of the world.
And brought it to a vote at City Hall. And that means if you look through city council archives, you can find the exact moment in history, August 29th, 1991, when Austin proclaimed itself the live music capital of the world. I found a recording of that moment. So I don't know if you want to give it a listen. I'd love to get your reaction.
Sure.
And emailed it to our question asker, Austin Brown.
Here, I'll play it right now.
Under items from council, number 46, approve a resolution declaring the city of Austin the live music capital of the world. 47, approve recommendations.
Here it goes on for a while.
And appoint task force members. So the consent motion will be item 46 and 47. Discussion on those? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Show those approved.
It's a little anticlimactic.
Yeah. I thought it was kind of low key too.
They're just like, yeah, sure. Like, why not? Let's go for it.
Maybe I should add some music in to give it a little more oomph.
I feel like it ought to be Willie Nelson, right?
Sure.
Turn out the lights. The party's over.
There was one final piece to his question. What do people think of the nickname? Well, back in the 90s, there was some skepticism. These days, maybe even more so. Even Max Nofziger thinks it might not be accurate anymore. Austin's just become too expensive for a lot of musicians to live here. There would be one way to prove it for sure, if you could find that old survey the city did to show how many clubs were here and compare it to today. The Austin Convention and Visitors Bureau, that now owns the Live Music Capital trademark, says it doesn't have that survey. I'm going to keep looking for it, but until then, the truthfulness of Austin's live music claim might just depend on who's listening.
And tomorrow starts the same old thing again.
Mose Bouchard, KT News.
And tomorrow starts the same old thing again.